Good evening, everyone. And good evening to our guests. And good evening to those that are watching live streaming. First, what I want to say is to say thank you to our Lord God. And thank you for the elders. And thank you for Obed for giving me this opportunity to come before you this evening. My sermon this evening is to bring two points together. Work and trials bring maturity. Thank you, Albert, for leading that song. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. Every time I listen to this song, we sing it, I see it, or I think about it, brings me to the vineyard. As a young child, around 5 years old, and I still have the vivid memory of it, is working in the cotton fields. At around 5 years old, I was already pulling the cotton, the whole shell, off of the limbs and putting it in between the rows so my mother would pick it up behind me. At 6 to 7 years old, my hands were already calloused. At 6 to 7 years old, my hands would bleed. For the gloves, the cotton gloves that we used, didn't last very long, hardly at all. So we would wind up getting holes in our hands. So every time you were pulling the cotton, the whole shell, it would just dig right into your hands. My family were migrant workers. During the season of the cotton season, we went wherever the work was. We worked from beginning of the sun to the sun went down all day. We didn't know, or I didn't know anything about taking a break. All I remember is eating lunch. That's every day. Every day, Monday through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. When we weren't in school, that's where we were. And even when we were in school, it's right after school, Saturday and Sunday. So at an early age, I learned to labor. But that was labor of the earthly sight. But here we are to labor for our God. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 15:58. And it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As the days go by, I become more aware of the great task before us in doing the work of the Lord and see what else that I can do for the Lord. Paul wrote, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Each of us, men and women, who are Christians, must abound in the Lord's work. We must all, you see, that's the key word, all, to do the labor of the Lord. Labor has to do with hard work. This earth is filled with many who wish to live without working or laboring. You see, brothers and sisters, I was one of them. All I wanted to do is to come to worship in the morning and sit on the pew and have no worries. That I didn't have to give of myself to work for the Lord. How wrong I was, and I am thankful that our Lord helped me see the light before it was too late for me. As Christians, we are given a spiritual gift. Please turn to Romans 12, 4 through 8. And it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, that he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, that he that willeth, ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." That's just one of many scriptures of a spiritual gift. This gift is given to the young and old, to men and women. This spiritual gift we must all tap into to work and labor for the Lord. And again, our labor is not in vain. Brothers and sisters, I am an example of this, that I am before you now. When Obed called me this week and asked me if I could do the sermon for Sunday evening, he also said, "I know that I'm not giving you enough time, but can you do it? Can you go ahead and do it?" And I said yes. I said yes right away because I couldn't say no. And I couldn't say no because I need to labor for the Lord. And that's what we must do, is labor for the Lord. It is sad to say this attitude to do the minimum and least is also seen in the church. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. But again, our labor is not in vain. Why? Because we are given an inheritance by our Lord God, not made by human hands. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance uncorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You see, this inheritance is not free. We must work for it. We must labor for the Lord. Do we have time for our inheritance? No, you don't have time. We don't know what the tomorrow would bring. So we do not have time. We must be faithful, walk holy in our lives as our Lord is holy. We must all, and there's the key word again, all, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Again, that labor is not in vain in the Lord. That inheritance we are to receive. What is the lesson we learn from 1 Corinthians 15:58 as we read? First, the work that is to be done is to be done by all. Again, the key word, all. The brethren. Therefore, brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The work is to be done for Christ, to be done by His children, the body of Christ. Galatians 3:26-27 says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." The work of the Lord cannot be done by earthly organizations or by the denominations of this world. This message is clear. Psalms 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." Second, the work that is to be done is the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord is for Christians to be evangelistic. Mark 16:15-16. Please turn there. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." As Christians, we must edify and build each other up. Ephesians 4:16. Let us do good to all, especially to those who are from the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. As Christians, we should study daily, pray daily, and worship when the doors are open, not just on Sunday morning. I'm an example of that. We must be faithful to do the work of the Lord and receive the inheritance to be with our Lord God, obedient faith, as we have read. Third, the work of the Lord is to be done by brethren with strong spiritual character. When Jesus gave of himself for our sins, he died in order to purchase a people zealous, hungry of good works. Titus 2:14. The Lord expects us, each of us as Christians, to be steadfast and to be involved in the Lord's work. Each of us as members of the Lord's church, we must be faithful and busy in the Lord's work. We must be steadfast, and each of us must possess a strong desire to do the work of the Lord. We must do the Lord's work daily. We must not and cannot be on and off in the Lord's work. We must never forget what God promises us. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Song again says, "I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord." Please turn to James 1:2-12. And it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but he withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Trials. We all have them. Trials not only reveal our faith, but they also develop our character within us. James is writing to show that God is trying to produce in us the kind of faith that overcomes. The trying of our faith works patience. Patience is enduring faith. Faith with staying power. These verses are speaking of the trials and tests that come into our lives from outside conditions and from inside. God is trying to produce in every Christian faith that overcomes, that endures, and that it has staying power. We are to understand that trials in the Christian life, they are not unique, but that they are for every true Christian. So what are the 6 points we learn from these verses? First, trials and testings happen in our lives to produce real Christian joy. It is a joy that causes us to rejoice in the midst of trials. It is a joy that brings rejoicing because we can see through those trials. Second, trials and testing happen in our lives to produce in us an enduring faith. God wants us to know that trials and testing happen in our lives to produce in us an enduring faith. The trying of our faith works patience. And patience means endurance, staying power. This one I have to work on. My patience gets a little short during the driving. So I have to work on that. We are to endure the trials of this earthly world as good soldiers of the cross. 2 Timothy 2:3. Trials and testings happen in our lives to mature us as a true Christian. The trials produce patience, and patience produces spiritual maturity. As we become spiritually mature, Christians, we must learn to lean totally upon our Lord Jesus Christ for his strength. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Spiritual maturity is God's goal for our lives. Fourth, trials and testing happen in our lives to prayer. We are to pray for wisdom, to understand our trials and testings in our lives. With wisdom comes the proper use of its knowledge, and to pray without any doubt. Five. Trials and testings happen to bring equality among the brethren. Through testing the poor, they receive spiritual riches. Trials come to the rich to keep them humble and dependent on God. 1 Timothy 6:17. Sometimes God had to take our riches away to give us the true riches. Luke 16:11. 6. Trials and testings happen to bring us reward in heaven. We are not saved by enduring trials, but we are rewarded for enduring those trials. God promises us a great reward for our trials here, both now and eternally. Mark 10:28-30. Again, the song says, I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day. We must labor for our Lord every day. And it's not just the elders, the deacons, or preacher, but we must all labor for the Lord. We all go through our trials, each one of us. But those trials we must endure through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the conclusion of this? So, brothers and sisters, we must be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain of the Lord. Our Christian walk is not easy, but what you yourself make it to be, that depends on you. God is trying to produce in us an enduring, overcoming faith. We must accept our trials that come. We must lean on from them. We must learn from them. We must pray for wisdom daily. We must rejoice in our trials and thank God for them. We are all in this Christian race, spiritual race. When I think about this spiritual race, I used to be a runner. It was competitive running. I admire Phil, and I take my head to him because he not only runs, he runs more than a mile. He runs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 miles. I'm not able to do that. And one of these days I will. Maybe. I'm going to try. But I'm going to start out slow. I'm going to start out slow and then go up gradually. But knowing my competitive edge, I'll probably start slow, but then I'll start going too fast and too hard. The next day or two or three, my whole body's going to be hurting. Hurting to the point that my wife's going to see my pain in my face, and she's going to say, yes, you overdid it again, didn't you? Yes. I have to say yes. I'm not going to be able to lie to her. So, yes. But we are in a Christian race. We're all in this Christian race together. During our Christian race, we must edify each other, encourage each other. When one falls and stumbles, to pick that individual up, not leave them behind. We must all study thy word. We must all work and labor for the Lord. That is what he wants. That's what we must do. We can't have our inheritance free. We have to work for it. We must labor for it. Study daily, pray daily. Worship whenever the doors are open, not just in the mornings of Sunday morning. We must learn that. The Lord wants us to labor. He wants us to work for it. It's not given. Do you have time to worry or think about this? You can't worry about it. You can't wait. We are given an inheritance. That inheritance, like I said, it's not given free. You have to work for it. You can't wait. I am thankful that I have been given the opportunity to see the light before it was too late for me. It must not be too late for you, or you'll be left behind. You see, this spiritual race and this Christian race, it's not how we start. We start out strong, and some of us start out strong, some of us start a little weak. But you see, it's the end that counts. Not the beginning, the end. That is our goal. We talk a lot about the spiritual race, but we have to. We have to continue to uplift each other up, to understand that this race is before us. To give ourselves. No matter what it is, but we must give to our Lord. Now is the time to become a Christian today. If you believe in Jesus and want to receive the remission of your sins, repent and be baptized to wash away your sins. Acts 22:16. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Once baptized, you must walk and live holy, as the Lord is holy, and be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. To become a Christian, it's not easy. It's not easy. But it's not hard either. It's only what you yourself make it to be. To have the Lord to lean on during our trials of this world. So during our race, we must learn to go around our trials that come before us. To lean on our Lord, always lean on our Father, for he is there for us. So come. Be baptized. This is the first step in your salvation. This is the first step of the race that you will be in. As we stand now, as we sing the song of invitation.
Sinner, harden not thy heart, be saved.